Good morning. It is, it's kind of a yucky day outside, but it has been awesome in this place today. This is one of my favorite days. Every once in a while we have these days where lots of our impact, lots of our missions come together on one day. We do that intentionally. Friday night, we were part of Night to Shine over at Cool Spring Baptist Church, and four or 500 of our friends, guests came and were just treated with incredible love, and it was just an awesome night. A lot of Fairmounters were there serving. It was great. Today, you've already heard about Sponsorship Sunday, and I hope that you will go out and consider sponsoring one or two or 10 kids, whatever the Lord is leading you to do. They need it. Our goal is 50 from our church through this particular recruitment drive. And so that's going to take, lots of us plugging in and helping out with that. So that's a great thing. Our elementary school kids today had the Super Bowl challenge, where they were to bring in soup cans, and if the boys brought in the most, there was fabulous prizes. If girls brought in the most, there were fabulous. I think they got new cars or something. I don't know where they were. Anyway, does anybody know who won? Who won? Do we know yet? I'm looking around. Boys won. Oh, the different hours. So we have to do, it's two different combos. Okay, all right. So the boys won at the earlier hour. I don't know about the later hour. Okay, that's all right. But all of that soup going to MSF to help out friends in our community who need a good meal. And so that's great. We're turning in baby bottles today, supporting through our financial gifts, the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Metro Richmond. Every penny goes to help out moms, babies, dads who are struggling with pregnancy. And so thank you for that. It's one of the great projects that we do here. Those are due today. If you didn't bring yours today, if you forgot yours today, bring them up tomorrow or on Tuesday. Just bring them up to the church office and we'll turn them all in. Super Bowl is tonight. That's always fun, right? Who's rooting for the Eagles tonight? Who's rooting for the Eagles? All right. Very, very calm. Very calm. Who's rooting for the Chiefs tonight? Somebody back there is rooting for the Chiefs. I don't know who it was, but somebody back there, that was exciting. Who's rooting for the snacks tonight? There you go. Who's going to be in bed before halftime tonight? Ah, there, I know you people. Yep. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I know that's good, and I know you're going to enjoy that. Today, though, on top of all, the cherry on top of all, today's the day where our teenagers actually host the couples in our church who've been married for 50 years or longer. And so that's always a beautiful thing where our teens serve them and honor them for 50 years of wedded bliss. And so I thought we would do the same, although, we will honor them as well. If you're in this service now and you've been married for 50 years or longer, would you stand up right now? We'd like to honor you. And I know we have some of them in the room. They're all, okay, all right, very nice. Yeah. Great. Love it. Congratulations. Well done. And we look forward to honoring you after this service is over. And there's going to be a whole lot more that have been in our other services today. We are beginning 2023, and I still think of February as the beginning, by the way. We're beginning 2023. We're focusing on revival. We're beginning this year with a focus on revival. Revival is a theme that kept coming up in a number of our small groups, our Bible study groups, over the pandemic. This felt need by many in our church for personal revival, church-wide revival, nationwide revival, whatever. And, our elder team, our preaching team heartily agreed with that revival is desperately needed in our world. And it's time, we thought the beginning of this year would be a great time to talk about, to pray for revival. Christian author John Piper defines revival as a fresh outpouring of God's life-giving spirit on his people. A fresh outpouring of God's life-giving spirit on his people. We need that. We need that. And I think now's the time. The pandemic brought, and I've said this a lot, over the last year, you may be tired of hearing it, sorry, but the pandemic brought on in many ways a spiritual funk. The fancier word is a spiritual malaise. And it wasn't everywhere, and it wasn't with everyone, but lots of people, lots of places, lots of churches did indeed experience that malaise. So coming out of the pandemic, wherever you were, didn't matter where you were, church, not church, store, school, work, whatever, there was the common phrase, let's get back to normal. I don't want to go back to normal. I want something better. And when I talk to folks, I think I'm not the only one in that camp. I don't want normal. I want better. The Pew Research people, they research, like Barna, they research spiritual issues in America. And so they've done several surveys since during the pandemic, after the pandemic, on the impact of the pandemic on people's lives. And no surprise here, the vast majority of people had no problems mentioning the negative aspects of COVID and the pandemic on their lives. But surprisingly, 73% of Americans, that's 3 out of 4, 73% of Americans also mentioned some silver linings to the pandemic. And they talked about things such as more time with family, new hobbies that they developed, more neighborly awareness, freedom to work from home. There are lots of things that people mentioned as silver. Even around here, I mean, I think, you know, in the middle of flu season and COVID and all that stuff, where there's more emphasis on washing your hands and having good hygiene and keeping things clean. We try to do that around here. Somebody expressed to me this past week, they said, you know what? We got these during the pandemic, right? These new water fountains. I went, water fountain? Yeah, we did. We got new water fountains during the pandemic. They're magical. You walk up to them with your water bottle and there's this magic and just water comes out into your water bottle. They're awesome. But we got those during the pandemic. Somebody said, thank you for those this week. Somebody said, hey, we love those things. All kinds of things we can look at that happened with this pandemic and afterwards. My prayer is that we're going to look back at this time. We're going to look back at this time in history, whether it's just the history of our church or the history of the world, whatever. And we're going to see a renewed emphasis on faith. A renewed emphasis on revival. A renewed emphasis on spirituality, pointing to Christ. And I'm hoping for that. I'm praying for that. You know, we did a month-long emphasis on fasting. We preached on fasting. Chris preached on fasting back in January. We did a 4-week fast as a congregation on Thursdays. And I'm just going to continue fasting on Thursdays. I'm going to keep on fasting on Thursdays, praying for revival, asking God for revival. And you're welcome to join me in that if you want to. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to, quiz you. But you're welcome to join me in that. If it's okay with your doctor, make sure, you're doing it. If it's okay to do it. But I'm going to keep on doing that. When it comes to matters of faith, I hope we all want something better. Something more meaningful, something more impactful. Jesus warns us about hiding our light under a bushel, hiding our light under a bowl where nobody can see it. I want the light of faith. I want the light of this church to shine like a lighthouse in the midst of a storm. I want our light to give hope, to give guidance, to give direction to a world around us that is headed straight for the rocks. Now, as we said as this year started, revival begins with each of us. Revival just doesn't happen at big events. Revival just doesn't happen when a church holds revival. All those things are great, and if God wants us to do those things, we will certainly do them with joy. But true, lasting revival, true lasting renewal, true lasting reawakening begins with you, begins with me personally. And Scripture points us to the fact that revival is a result of releasing the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Revival occurs when we're releasing the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Now, let me just ask you this. How many of you got a gift card for Christmas? Anybody get a gift card for Christmas? This past year, the market researchers tell us more gift cards were sold this Christmas than any point in history. $189 billion in gift cards were sold this last Christmas. Now, the same researchers tell us that every year, billions, with a B, billions of dollars worth of gift cards go unused. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's what will really blow your mind. The researchers tell us that the average American, now that's not you because you're not average, but the person next to you, okay? All right? The person next to you, the researchers tell us that the average American has $175 worth of unused gift cards on them right now. Right now. Look at the person next to you now and say, well, give them to me then, okay? I'll take them. I'll take them. Give them to me. If you don't want them, if you're not going to use them, give them to me. We are robbing ourselves. We are robbing ourselves of good stuff, free meals, free ice cream, free coffee, whatever it is. We're robbing ourselves of good stuff. If you have Jesus in your life, then you have been given the greatest gift that's ever existed, God's Spirit dwelling in you. And when we fail to embrace that, when we fail to release that Spirit in us, we are robbing ourselves of so much. In January, we focused on spiritual disciplines. We specifically addressed four of them. We talked about being in the Word. We talked about fasting, worship, prayer. All these spiritual disciplines get us more in tune with that Spirit that's in us. They are the game changer. They make all the difference. Spiritual disciplines make all the difference in our walk. So adopting those disciplines, I would even use the term aggressively adopting those disciplines into our lives, move us into closer alignment with the Holy Spirit. And I believe leads to more lasting, more sustainable, more meaningful revival. But remember, and Seth said this last week, spiritual disciplines are not the goal. They're not the destination. They're great, but they're not the point. The goal, the destination, is to fully embrace that awesome and amazing Holy Spirit. The Spirit in us is the true agent of change. So Seth segued us last week from the spiritual disciplines that align us with the Holy Spirit to the actual life-changing, revival-producing Spirit living in His followers. Michael McCann wrote this last week in the Christian Standard. I love what he says here. He says, the essence or core substance of the spiritual life is this: Jesus indwells us through His Spirit. He fills us with Himself, and He lives His life through us. Oh, man. I love that phrase. The goal is Jesus living His life through me. Wow. I want that. I want Jesus living His life in me. So for the next 3 weeks, we want to dive into specifically the Holy Spirit. We want to look at His presence, we want to look at the produce, and we want to look at the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit in us? What does it mean when He is fully released in our Christian walk? So we go to Scripture, obviously, and you go back into the Old Testament. Holy Spirit is in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It is all, of course, all throughout. And in Genesis is the Holy Spirit that's there at creation from the very beginning. But in the Old Testament, God's Spirit would empower people for a limited time. There are many accounts in the Old Testament of God's Spirit dwelling in people for a specific time, a specific task, a specific message that God wanted shared. So Scripture talks about the Spirit empowering Joshua, Gideon, Deborah, Samson, David, Ezekiel. I mean, there's just a small handful of the folks that the Spirit empowered to do specific things that God wanted done. God's people of the Old Testament understood, and sometimes they even experienced, the transitory nature of the Spirit. It would come and go on His people. But all of those folks were looking forward to a day when something better would arrive. Moses prayed that all would receive the Holy Spirit. Isaiah looked ahead to a day when the Spirit would be on a coming Messiah. Ezekiel and Joel prophesied that one day God's Spirit would come on all of His people. Now you come to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and some scholars believe that for 400 years, from Malachi to the Gospels, that for 400 years, the Spirit was not to be found. That they call that the intertestamental period, and that the Holy Spirit was not to be found here on earth. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but a lot of scholars contend that. Luke tells us that John the Baptist, in his mother's womb, had the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Messiah, stands in the synagogue, and he reads from Isaiah, and he informs the crowd that the Spirit is on me, he says. And there in the New Testament, Jesus promises his followers the unlimited presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want a comprehensive one-stop shop lesson on the Holy Spirit, read John 14. Don't read it right now. Read it during halftime or something like that. John 14 is this amazing passage in the midst of the upper room. We have more from the upper room in John than all of the other Gospels combined. John includes just tons and tons of Jesus' teaching, Jesus praying. I mean, some amazing stuff. So in the middle of this time, remember, the upper room, this is hours before the Garden of Gethsemane. This is hours before Jesus' arrest. It's hours before his beating and his crucifixion. He's in the upper room preparing his friends. Jesus prepares his friends by giving them this promise that will change everything. And using the gift card analogy, I'm going to give you a gift card that will blow your mind. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus reminds his apostles that the Spirit would be with them forever. No transitory spirit coming and going when God was calling someone specific to something. His Spirit would dwell with them. His Spirit would dwell in them. And it's not some unknown, ethereal, wavy thing. You know, I mean, when I was growing up and for centuries before the 1970s, we referred to it in Scripture as the Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard that before? The Holy Ghost. When I think of ghost, spooky, weird, strange. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus says you know him because he lives with you. It's the dude sitting right here at this table with you right now, he says. He lives with you and he will be in you. Jesus' Spirit dwells in Jesus' people. And that's great news for us. That Spirit was not just for those apostles who were gathered in that room that night, the very ones on whom the church would be built. That Spirit dwells in all who love and obey Jesus. His Spirit is not just for the super Christian. His Spirit is not just for the perfect. His Spirit's not just for the ones that have it all together. His Spirit's not for the smart ones, the learned ones amongst us. His Spirit is for all who love and obey Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you are an authentic follower of Jesus, if you live a life of loving God and loving people, he makes his home with you. I don't know about you. That's one of those phrases I just never really paid that much attention to, but I have that underlined. Underline that in your Bible. Highlight that in your Bible. Highlight that today. We'll make our home with you. 37 years ago, I picked up Betsy Davis at her apartment in my Volkswagen Scirocco. Styling. And I took her up into the hills of East Tennessee to the place I think was referred to as the beauty spot. For us Milliganites, you all know where that is. And there, like many before me and many after, I asked Betsy Davis to make a home with me forever. Today we celebrate couples that 50 years ago or longer said to each other, let's make a home together. There's nothing more intimate, nothing more special. And Jesus says, we're going to make our home with you. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, come to dwell in us, live with us, Him and us and Him, forever. That's awesome. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But it's also practical. The practical positives of the Spirit are impossible to ignore. The Spirit's presence will support us daily. Every day, the Spirit's presence will support us and encourage us. In this great lesson, Jesus says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, some of your translations have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That Spirit inside of each of us counsels, helps, teaches, reminds, brings peace, brings courage, comforts. Do you need any of those things? You have them. You already have them. Peter reminds the world that the repentant, baptized believer in Jesus is promised the Holy Spirit. We demonstrate our love and obedience to Christ in lots of different ways, but not the least of which is described for us on the day of Pentecost when the church is born. Peter stands up in front of the many folks who had gathered in Jerusalem, and they hear them speaking in languages they didn't know that they knew, and they come to see what's going on, and Peter preaches, and he tells them, you killed the Messiah, but hey, guess what? The Messiah rose from the dead, and the people are convicted. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That's everybody in this room. For all whom our Lord God will call. Something so amazing is also really simple. Deny yourself. Welcome Jesus. To put it quite simply, you either have the Spirit or you do not. If you love Jesus, if you believe in Him as your Savior, if you've repented of your sins and you've washed those sins away in baptism, if you're living a life of obedience, you do not have to wonder if you have the Spirit. It is a promise of Jesus Christ. You never have to wonder. You have it. He is in you right now. If you love Him, but you haven't been obedient to Him yet, maybe you haven't confessed Him as your Savior, maybe you haven't repented of your sins, maybe you haven't washed those sins away, you too can have that Spirit in your life. You too can have His Spirit living in you if you choose obedience. And I don't understand it, but the New Testament also talks about quenching the Spirit. Paul tells the Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. Evidently, our behavior, our attitudes, our choices can minimize, if not extinguish, the influence of the Spirit in our lives. Friends, that would be tragic. Tragic. If that's you, repent of the sins, the decisions, the choices that quench the Spirit. Return to a life of obedience, and the Spirit will be alive in you again. I've shared this story with some folks, so some of you may have already heard this, but right after Christmas, somebody gave me a gift card for Christmas this year, a nice gift card from a friend, and I think it was a Visa or MasterCard, gift card, something like that. And so took my wife out to eat. We were out to eat, and instead of, you know, pulling out the wallet and, you know, using my own cash, I pulled out this gift card. It was still in the wrapper from Kroger or whatever, you know, the little folder, you know, the little thing they hang on the thing. It was still in that. And so I whipped that sucker out, and the guy came, you know, with the check, and I was like, I proudly present to you my gift card, you know. And I opened it up right there at the table, put it on the little tray thing, and the little folder thing. Comes back, waiter comes back. He says, man, he says, you got 6 cents there. And I was like, well, that's good. I got that thing within 6 cents. I was like, I'm here, have the tip. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted to say. You know. So and then he looked at me. He's like, no, sir, there was only 6 cents on your card. Surely not. Run it again. There were 6 cents on that. Somebody had, we went home, opened up our computer, got on the fraud line for the Visa, and sure enough, the card had been, somebody had had taken all but 6 cents and spent it at a Walmart in Tennessee. No clue. No idea. The package was closed, and yet they somehow stole our number and spent all but 6 cents of my wonderful gift. People are pretty crafty, aren't they? I mean, that's just darn right evil, you know? There's one more crafty than the most crafty thief on the face of the earth. And he wants to rob you of the most wonderful, awesome gift card you've ever been given. The unlimited presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I honestly don't think he can take him from you. I don't. But I do think he can absolutely minimize that presence in your life. He can convince you that, well, that was something back in Bible days. It's really not for us today. He can convince you, well, your problems are way bigger than God can handle. He can convince you, well, you know that stuff that you're afraid of? Yep, you should be afraid of those things. I mean, he can convince you of all of those things to where finally that Holy Spirit just becomes just a shadow, a ghost of the past. Instead of the all-empowering spirit that's in your heart. Friends, today, as we continue our focus on the Holy Spirit, it's my prayer that every single person in this place, all of our services, our whole church, will continue our focus on God's Spirit dwelling inside of you. God's Spirit dwelling inside of me. If we keep that in our focus every single day, then I'm convinced not only will we have revival in our own lives, we'll have revival in this church and revival in this community, because nothing will convince us that God's not in this, because he'll be right in the midst of it all. So let's focus on that Spirit. And I'm telling you, if there's something in your life that you need to give over to him that's kind of quenching the Spirit in your life, let's give that over to him today. If you've never confessed him, if you've never been baptized, let's do that today. Let's get that Spirit into your lives. We can do all of that stuff right here, right now. Folks have come forward today just to have somebody pray with them today. You can do that today. You don't even have to have somebody. If you just want to come during this time of worship as we're continuing our time together, if you just want to come up here and pray, you can do that. Or somebody can pray with you, whatever you need. Friends, the Holy Spirit is in your life. Or the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life. Will you welcome him and embrace him today?